I want to bring you up to where we're picking up our text today. You know, we are studying, working our way through the book of Acts. And we've already seen the resurrected Jesus gather together with his apostles and then ascend into heaven, having given them the instructions to wait until they receive the gift of Holy Spirit. Well, that's what the apostles have been doing up to this point, is waiting in a room there in Jerusalem. We're not sure where it is. We assume it's an upper room. But nonetheless, they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they wait. Whatever this Holy Spirit is, they're waiting for it. And then our text happens. Our text takes place during an event, a celebration called Pentecost, which means, as Heidi mentioned, which means 50. It's because it's 50 days from Passover until the celebration of this day. We just celebrated President's Day. Well, this is Pentecost. So everybody in Jerusalem and around the Roman Empire who is a Jew comes to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. It's really a Harvest Day celebration. It's also a celebration of the giving of the law to Moses. So there they are in the upper room celebrating this holiday. I'm beginning with the second chapter and the first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven there for the celebration. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And some, however, made fun of them, saying, "They have had just too much wine." It's no wonder they would have thought they had too much wine. All this noise and chaos. I love the kids this morning singing, are joining together in this celebration of a birthday. You know where the song Happy Birthday comes from? It was, the tune was written by two grammar school teachers named Patty and Mildred. They wrote it in 1893, well over 100 years ago. And I'll bet you're relieved to know that you now can sing Happy Birthday without having to pay royalties to Warner's Music. Yeah, they did. They charged copyright laws for anybody who would, well, any movie or musical or whatever, use that song for over 100 years until Judge George King, 2 years ago, ruled, "It doesn't belong to you guys. You can't charge people for singing Happy Birthday. You don't own the copyrights on that." So the judge ordered Warner Music to pay back anybody who's living who paid them royalties to sing this song. I bet you really wanted to know all of that. But today we're celebrating the birthday of the church, not because it's Pentecost. In fact, Pentecost is not until probably next June. But we're celebrating Pentecost because that's our text this morning. That is Pentecost. And Pentecost is a holiday. Now, these apostles they're Presbyterian apostles. Because when in doubt, what you do is you get together, you pray, you have committee meetings, and you vote. And that's what they've been doing. And they have been just doing their ordinary garden, everyday type stuff, including celebrating Pentecost, which wasn't that big a day. Again, a little bit like President's Day. I don't know what you did on President's Day, but I didn't do a lot. Maybe I watched some TV. And then, suddenly, into their room, things started to happen. Now, I want to note, first of all, that these disciples are together. They're not all kind of like, oh, why don't you go fishing, Peter, and why don't you go to do back to your taxes, Matthew? No, they're all together. C.S. Lewis, you're going to be hearing a lot about C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis wrote this amazing book called Mere Christianity. If you don't own a copy, I'm going to put this in your library. It is well worth reading. It brought me, literally, to the Lord. But in any case, C.S. Lewis, who was a Brit, gave these kind of like fireside chats on the radio back in the 40s in Great Britain during the Second World War. In one of those talks, he said, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. You're not a sort of prize which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. They are a great fountain of energy and beauty, spurting up at the very center of reality. If you're close to it, the spray will get on you. If you're not, you'll stay dry. Once a person is united to God, how could he not live forever? Once a man is separated from God, what can he do but wither and die? They were together when suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with Holy Spirit. Suddenly, their comfortable, tidy little plans were falling apart. Suddenly, that which was expected and ordinary became extraordinary and unexpected. Things were upside down. Things were confused, not normal. So what was going on? Creation was going on. New creation was taking place. God was turning around the creation that had been turned against him. Remember Adam and Eve and all those who followed? God was sorting that out. God was remaking what he'd started with from the beginning. And suddenly, there was this mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole room. I love that. That's our translations don't really grab a hold of what was happening there, I think. Our translations say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. That's Genesis. And over the surface of the deep, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. That's how Genesis starts. That's how creation began. But that word of the Spirit in Hebrew is ruah. Can you say ruah? Ruah. You got to blow it out. Ruah. Let me hear it. Come on. You can say this. Ruah. That's the blowing out. That's a violent blowing. And that's what God's, what was hovering over the deep. God's violent wind was hovering over the deep. That's what created the heavens and the earth. And God spoke. You can't speak without wind. And God spoke. And the light came out of the darkness. And God spoke. And the land came out of the sea. And God spoke. And there was man. Oh, God reaches down and he scoops up the soil and he forms it. And he forms this being, but it's not a nephesh. No, a nephesh is a human being. No, this was just a being. And then God breathed into this sculpture he was making, and it became a nephesh. I was out at the ice carving festival this last week. They weren't alive. They were amazing, but they weren't alive. In creation, everything God did came alive. This ruah. In Greek, it's pneuma. That's where we get pneumonia and pneumatic from. It's a violent wind that came into that room. And the violent wind was the Spirit of God. That's what happened. But it wasn't just wind, it was also fire. Fire was there dancing on the heads of each one of them. Tongues of fire rested on each of them, we are told. Yeah, fire was there at creation too. Do you remember? The very first thing God did when his Spirit hovered over the deep was separate the light from the darkness. The Gospel of John puts it this way. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. The Spirit of God is the presence of light. Yeah, light was used throughout the whole Scripture. Do you remember when God wanted to get Moses' attention? He caught a bush on fire. Poosh! Light. It's not supposed to be light out there. It's just bushes. Light. And then as Moses led the people of Israel out across the wilderness to the promised land, God said, I'll give you a pillar of fire at night so you don't get lost, so you know where to go. I will guide you with my light. The presence of God in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, is light. The presence of God in the New Testament now is light. And fire rested on each of them who were there in that upper room. Creation. Now, don't get distracted with all this chaos, this violent wind, this fire, this like... Some who say, oh, yeah, is that not amazing? Yes, it's amazing, but that's not what it's about. You can lose the meaning if you get distracted with the details. I grew up in Pasadena, about 4 blocks from Colorado Boulevard. Now, those of you who don't know, Colorado Boulevard is the street down which the Rose Parade comes every single year. And every single year, all these floats are made about 6 months in advance, and then the bands come. And, well, the really big part of that is not the parade. It's the pre-parade. So our family would get out of bed about, I don't know, 4 o'clock in the morning. We lived 4 blocks from Colorado Boulevard. We would get our lawn chairs and some rope and blankets, and then we would haul them up the 4 blocks to Colorado Boulevard, and we would mark out our territory and set up our chairs and blankets. And well, there was also a lot of celebrating and all kinds of indulgence there in anticipation of the parade. Inevitably, there would be those when the parade would finally start down the street, the bands playing, who would be sound asleep, tucked under some blanket, probably wishing those bands would play a little quieter, please. And they'd miss it. They'd miss the whole thing. No parade. They got distracted. Don't get distracted in this text with all the fire and light. Oh, it's important. But that's not what it's about. It's about creation. Or if you would, recreation. The change. Do you remember the Garden of Eden? When Adam and Eve were there, before they had decided they were smarter than God. When Adam and Eve were there, they then indulged in that, I think I can do better than God. God's smart, but not as smart as me. And so they indulged with the help of the serpent. And then we're told, and then God came walking through the garden in the cool of the morning. Picture that. God's walking in a garden. And he calls out, Adam, Eve, where are you? See, God was used to them running to him when he would show up, like my dog when I come home. No running, no Adam. Adam, Eve, where are you? And Adam says, I'm hiding. God said, did you eat of the fruit from the tree of good and evil? Yes, said Adam, I did, but it was the woman who did it. And God said, Eve, did you eat of the fruit of the tree of good and evil? I did, but it was a serpent who did it. You see, one of the first sins is blame. Don't take credit. Oh, we want to avoid that. In Christ, we can take credit. You know why? Because we know he can and will forgive us. And if we didn't know that, we'd never be able to confess. Oh, yes. God shows up in the garden. And there Adam knew he was stuck. And then the sound of the voice of God. That garden was the judgment, very much like the judgment that took place at the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel was made up where all the people could speak the same language, and they all said, hey, we're smarter than God. Why don't we build our way to heaven and replace him? They began to work together to build this tower. We call it the Tower of Babel. And then God came. And God says, you will no longer be able to communicate with one another. Why? Because you took me out of the formula. And that's what happens when you take God out of the formula. You no longer can communicate. And so you will not be able to communicate. You'll speak different languages. And so they all left there, stopped their construction, and went all the different points of the earth. And so the confusion has continued even down to this day. The confusion of languages, the judgment of God. The people from all over the Roman Empire came to Jerusalem to celebrate that Pentecost day. And they all spoke different languages. We were told, now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking his own language. The bewilderment was not the sound. The bewilderment was that they heard languages they could understand. Utterly amazed, they said, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya, visitors from Rome, Cretans, Arabs, we hear them all declaring the wonders of God in our own language. And they ask, what does this mean? That's not normal. Galileans speak Galilean. Medes speak Medish, whatever that is. Parthians speak Parthian. But they don't all understand each other. But we do. When a Parthian's speaking about Jesus, I get it. When a Mede is speaking about God, I get it. When an Elamite is speaking about God, I understand. Suddenly, a whole new paradigm exists. We celebrate our diversity, as I think we should. Did you know that there's 2,796 languages in this world, not counting email? I mean, we all know what CEO stands for and FPC, but do you know what BBR stands for? Stands burnt beyond repair. That's an insurance term. Or WOOF, W-O-O-F, stands for well-off old folks. I don't know if there's any WOOFs around here, but, or here's one of my favorite, IHA. I hate acronyms. Languages meant to confuse. But on Pentecost, confusion always confronted with that wind and the flames. The voice of God spoke, the hand of God created, and everyone, no matter what their language was, got it. You see, we're told we are living in a post-Christian era. Not true. There is no such thing as post-Christian. Pentecost said that the person of Jesus is for all time, all peoples, all languages, all gender, all races, all geography. There are no exceptions. There's no one ever created who couldn't get it, which is why we share the gospel as liberally and broadly and as we can. Because everybody can get it. Because of Pentecost. Parthians, Medes, Elamites. Look at the names of those countries. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those are all the nations and countries east of Jerusalem. Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, all north of Jerusalem. Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, all south of Jerusalem. And, of course, Rome and Cretans and Arabs, all west of Jerusalem. Do you get it? North, south, east, west. This is not just an Eastern religion. It's not just a Middle East religion. It's not an English religion or a European religion or a Western culture religion. This is God's people for the world. Jesus is the universal language. I want you to notice also, Jesus does not come to destroy our uniqueness or even our differences. I know this is one of the things that really made it more so difficult for me to become a Christian. Because I was afraid that if I became a Christian, I would look like some people I know who called themselves Christians, and I didn't want to become one of those. And God made it clear, no, Don, I'm not going to make you one of those. I'm going to make you a Christian Don. I'm going to fulfill you for the reasons you were created. When that came true, when that became a reality, a realization for me, changed everything. It changed everything for me. I want you to notice, tongues of flame danced on the head of each one who was there in that room on Pentecost. Peter, you don't need to change. Peter, you're mine. I've got a tongue of flame for you. James, I've got a tongue of flame for you. Matthew, I've got a tongue of flame for you. And there's a tongue of flame for you too. Everyone here, God has singled out to fulfill who you were created to be. And that happened on Pentecost, the day the church was born. The day we call our birthday. It's so important that we see the church in this light, because what it means is that the church is created by God. It's not just another human institution. There is a lot of those. There's Safeway, there's Fred Meyer, there's, and even good ones, there's, well, those are good too, but I mean, there are the hospital, that's good, the university, that's good, government, that's good. But none of them were created by God. The church was. Which I think puts a particular mandate on all those who love the church. And that mandate is, this belongs to God, not you. And you can't do whatever you want to the church. He created it. Amen. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we would celebrate the birth of the church today, every day, but especially on Sunday worship. We thank you, O Lord, for the diversity that you honor, and that you use to share the good news that Jesus Christ is the Lord of all, and to be able to speak Jesus. I ask, O Lord, that you'll open our mouths to speak it, and open the ears of those who have not heard to understand, and let the wind of your Spirit flow, and the flames of identity dance upon the head of every man, woman, and child, now and forever. Amen.